Welcome to Karate in the Garage. I'm Corey Culp.
I'm Freddie Wolf.
Kickstart for May. Not May. It's March.
March. Damn
it. Come on, Corey.
March
18th. I don't know why, because I literally just said, hey, we're going to mention that it's St. Patrick's Day right now.
Yeah, we're recording this on St. Patrick's Day.
In May, apparently.
Yeah, that's the other St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I gotta love that. Hey, so if you guys enjoyed our first of our three March Madness episodes, that was DOA, Dead or
DOA.
Alive.
DOA.
If you haven't seen it yet, check it out. It's on all the free services. And when I say all of them, I mean all of them.
What's crazy is it's our second movie within just a few months called DOA.
It is. Isn't that crazy?
And they're nothing alike.
Nothing alike. When the first game came out for DOA, I thought, I didn't know what it was because I don't think they called it DOA. I think they called it Dead or Alive. It was bigger than the, I don't think they initialed it yet.
Yeah, man. Look, I hope everybody enjoyed it. I enjoyed the shit out of watching it again.
It was a fun movie.
Yeah, man. You know, like I said, I'm always amazed at like how many, you know, there's nothing, but there's like lots of glistening, sweaty skin and lots of crotch shots of very attractive people. So yeah, man, what's not to like?
Yeah. It knows its role and it performs it admirably.
Yeah. Delivers on all levels.
Yes. But it is strange though why we didn't get a sequel. Not that regardless of how much money it made. I mean, those are the kind of movies they make sequels for and then they just replace them with a bunch of people that you don't really know. But there's but other than like two people in the movie, everybody isn't much of a name to where you couldn't have them come back.
I think even the people who we think are names are okay to come back because, I mean, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's weird because they certainly did. They, you know, we got three feast movies. We got, especially from that whole sort of Dimension Extreme, you know, vibe. Seems like we would certainly have gotten another one, but that's okay. Maybe it's some things are better left unsaid and unmade.
As we talked about there, it had, I mean, it really was a heavy duty international production from the financial side of things too. So I'm really wondering if maybe that was just too complicated to try to pull that off again. Maybe people were like, well, where's our money?
Yeah.
Too many different places.
Who knows, man? Or, you know, or again, Corey Yen didn't want to make another one. It seems like somebody, some greedy motherfucker, if, you know, cause I know, dude, everybody I know at the time saw the movie cause it became like a thing. Everybody I worked with had seen it. It was like this weird, cause it was when DVDs were still flooding the market pre Blu-ray and everybody I knew was into DOA. I mean, I don't know why other than it's kind of badass, but yeah, I don't know. You think there was money to be made. Somebody left money on the table, which seems very un-2006.
Right.
Especially from that studio.
With that DVD window, they became so reliant on it for 10 years. So when it was starting to, get to the point where there was more, obviously just like the VHS days. I mean, that's why it was such a big renaissance with DVD was that it was like VHS, but this time around, instead of going to the video store and renting all the time, they were priced where like,
you just buy them, dude.
You just buy them.
Yeah.
It was like when you get that rare VHS title that they did sell through on, that's why DVDs became so huge.
Yeah.
But once that window shriveled up, well, I'd say like 3/4 of the way through the Blu-ray side of things where things started getting like, hey, you know what? We don't have much of a place here anymore because these buttholes over here are starting to show movies, which just by hitting play on your computer.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Like I was thinking about those, especially those Dimension Extreme titles. And I was thinking, God, you know, there were some fun ones, dude.
Yeah.
Do you remember Rogue?
Yeah.
With Sam Worthington and Radha Mitchell. It was like Jaws with a saltwater crocodile chasing a boat up the river in Australia. Right. It was actually pretty fantastic. I mean, but again, there was a whole slew of those Dimension Extreme movies. I mean, that would be something I would, you know, I would lobby for us to like, you know, pick four of those random fuckers and go down that road. Remember Black Sheep?
I love Black Sheep.
Yeah, me too. I would just say it. Like there was a time when we were getting a lot of really fun, just wacky things, man. I don't know. There was another movie I really loved called Fido, but I don't remember if it was a Dimension Extreme, but it was also just from that same time period that I would have never seen that movie if it weren't for, you know, the fact that I probably picked it up at Best Buy for $12 or something.
Well, I really feel like Fido was one of those kind of movies that they would even make if there wasn't a DVD market.
Right. No, of course. But it wasn't like, it didn't feel like a made for DVD. It didn't feel like a made for VHS
no
type movie. It was a real movie that just ended up on. Yeah. I mean, again, Dimension Extreme. They did a bunch of crazy shit, dude. I started thinking about it when my Feast triple feature showed up. Finally.
Well, yeah, I just think it's so funny. As soon as you order it, all three of them ended up on Tubi.
Yeah, but it's okay because there's some some really good commentary and, you know, some fun stuff on that DVD. And I didn't pay an arm and a leg for it anyway.
Yeah, dude, I loved Fido. I thought I've never seen when I first saw the poster for it. I'm like, is that Billy Connolly? I couldn't tell if it was him or not. Yeah. I'm like going, sure, it looks like him. But like at that window of time, you were getting all these imports and you think it's somebody with just another country's performer.
And you're also like him. What the fuck is Billy Connolly doing in this movie? That was my first thought. I was like, when I saw his name, I was like, Billy Connolly? And I was like, sure as shit it is.
And if anybody's experienced his work towards the end, his stand-up work, he's the closest thing to George Carlin that I've seen, like, since George. His social commentary is so fucking good. So for him to do something, to do a movie, it tells me that, because he didn't need money. You know, he was good.
Well, you just made it sound like he's dead.
No,
he's not.
I just...
Well, he said near the end, and I was like, I had to look, because I thought he was dead. I was like, wait, he's not dead.
No, I just meant, like, more working, more prevalent. It's like... never mind. I'm like, it's funny for me to say that after the conversation we had before we got on mic. I know.
No, because I was like, wait, near the end. I was like, how did I... What?
No, and I just meant he just stopped working. You know, after Robin passed, Robin Williams passed, he's been, dude,
plus he's 82 years old.
Yeah, he was fucking great. He's if you just look up any, even just something came up of his, like on some Instagram reel, maybe like a year ago. And I, it was like 2 a.m. and I woke Melody up because I was laughing so hard because it was just, the dude was fucking unbelievable. He's such a funny guy. Anyway, so for him to do a movie like that, I knew it had to be fun. And sure enough, it's pretty great. And Carrie Ann Moss is in it, just playing it up. She was great too.
Yeah. I mean, that whole movie, dude, is like, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, if you're familiar with your sort of Brit television, there's a lot of familiar faces in that movie as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Even Dylan Baker shows up at some point.
Dude. Okay. I ended up watching Dream Scenario. Speaking of Dylan Baker, cause he's in the movie. I just watched it last night. I had never seen it. Cage, dude. I mean, I know anytime we cover a movie of his or even talk about it, just the dude's unbelievable, but that was, he's pretty great in it. But that, if you haven't seen the movie yet, this is the one where everybody dreams, he plays a character that everybody dreams of. Sometimes it's just some dude in the background walking through their dream, or sometimes it gets to a point where people are dreaming about him murdering them. And it's a commentary on cancel culture, but I really don't, I mean, I get those moments where that's kind of what people were saying about it. I mean, I guess so, but it was Cage just picking a part that is so, again, you know, it is when you watch a Nick Cage movie, you get to the end of it and like, I can't see anybody else playing that part. Cause right. It is just as obscure as something like Adaptation. When once you've seen it, you're like, you can't imagine another performer in that part.
Right.
And it's, again, love it or leave it. How do I feel about the movie as a whole? I don't know. It ends really weird. Just for the ride of watching Nick Cage just perform. And he gets his ass kicked. Not, I mean, I guess he does get in a fight, but it's just life kicking you in the ass kind of movie. I don't know much more to say about it. It's just one of those, you can't really explain it. It's a dream scenario. I mean, that's it. I gave you the log line. That's about all I can really say about it. Not to ruin anything, because I don't think I'll ruin anything. It's just that it's hard to explain the movie unless you just engage and watch it.
Yeah. It's funny. Have you watched Retirement Plan yet? Because I just watched it for the first time.
I keep wondering if, like, I thought we were going to, at one point, we were going to do a Disengage for it. But because it's been staring at me on Hulu for like 2 months now or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good time. I mean, Cage is by far the best thing in the movie. I mean, yeah. Otherwise, that movie works with nobody else. You couldn't put anybody else in that movie because nobody would watch it.
Yeah.
I would just, yeah.
it seems to be a thing.
Well, it is. I mean, I can't imagine anybody else. I wouldn't even be interested in anybody else playing that in that movie. Cause to me, that is just a throwaway movie. But you know, you put Nicolas Cage in a weird wig on the fucking front of a, yeah, I'm in.
Okay. Okay, so let's think about that. We just talked about the DVD window and how movies are getting made just because there was money to be made in the home video market. I guess I almost feel like he's like the DVD window incarnate. He's like,
yeah.
You put Nick Cage in a movie, people are going to watch it.
People are going to buy, and people are still going to buy like physical media with Nick. You know, it's funny. I went by Best Buy just because I was at Trader Joe's. Well, I just went in there to use the bathroom because it's what I do. you know, if I got to pee after, because I hate that bathroom at Trader Joe's. I walked in, and so now they just have one big display up front. That's it. Like, I guess, I don't know why, but it's only new releases. But there were two Nicolas Cage movies on it. Like, that I was like, wow, I didn't even realize they put out physical copies of that, but there they are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so he is still, you know, he's still like a cash cow for people. I mean, I don't mean it in a bad way because it's entertaining as shit, dude. What we should do a disengaged on is Butcher's Crossing.
No, I know we've been that one. And then what was the other cowboy one?
The Old Way or whatever the fuck it's
called. Yeah, yeah, that one. I think we're, it's so funny because like if you, I went and looked it up. You know how many disengaged we've actually done? Like five. Three.
I want to say we did Stolen, we did Settle the Score, we did Sorcerer's Apprentice, we covered in a regular episode. I'm going to say we've done not more than four, if four.
We did Black Diamond, Demon last year.
No, Black Demon's Josh Lucas, it's not Nicolas Cage.
I know, but was it
a disengaged? I thought you meant like disengaged.
I mean just period. And then Joey and I did Outcast while you're on location, which actually turned into, we stopped watching Outcast and it turned into Sharknado because Outcast turned out to be good. And then we did Wicker Man. That was the last time you and I did a disengaged with Nick in it. May 26, 2021.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Sorcerer's Apprentice, short while before that, Kill Chain.
Was Sorcerer's Apprentice, did we do that as a disengaged?
We did, yeah.
I thought but we that did was it as a regular episode.
No, but. We did it as a commentary, a disengaged.
We did,
because you hadn't seen it.
Right.
And we did it that way, which worked out great because we just ended up being a normal episode. I could have sworn we did. I don't see Stolen on here. Hold on, did I not call it disengaged?
Stolen was the first one we did.
I know, I'm not seeing it on the list. Wow.
I mean,
Hold on. You know why? Because I think Stolen was a disengaged because that's when we weren't on Patreon.
Ah, there you go.
That's why it's not listed there. I might have to re-upload that. Hold on.
Gotcha. It's funny. Like that movie, think when we talk about Stolen, I always confuse it with Drive Angry.
Which is fucking great.
Yeah. But I mean, they're both shot in Louisiana. Kind of, yeah. I feel like they're nothing alike. And if I'm watching Drive Angry, I wouldn't think about Stolen at all. And if I was watching Stolen, I wouldn't think about Drive Angry. Or maybe I'd think I wish I was watching Drive Angry.
Yeah. Score to Settle was the first one.
No, we did Stolen before we did Score to Settle.
No.
I guarantee we did.
Score to Settle was released on September 17, 2020, October 2nd for Stolen.
And we did Stolen because we did Stolen early on at your house before we ever did. And we did Score to Settle during the pandemic. We watched Stolen upstairs in your office. It was the first one we did.
I don't know why I would have released it then. That's weird.
I don't know. I don't know either. But I know we did it first because it was our first kickoff to doing it because we were laughing at the fact that. Because we watched it in your office because we were like, we did it. We kept stopping because we were just started laughing about MC Gainey and all that shit. Score to Settle didn't come out until during the pandemic.
Well, I know. I'm saying both.
After we started recording remote.
Well, because I think, dude, like when we did, I don't think we did any disengages. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I want to fucking start editing shit.
Yeah. Well, this is all bullshit anyway. It's all rambling
there's
nonsense.
Ironically, there's more of that in the wild than there is on Patreon. So, which is, again, the silly ass point is that they were all supposed to be Patreon exclusive things, but we got to a point where our schedules just weren't meshing. We hadn't figured out how to work remotely yet, where it wasn't a big pain in the ass. We hadn't figured out like the stuff we use now, our tools, not just Riverside, but before that, our clean feed. We hadn't even discovered that yet.
Clean feed.
You were recording on your end. I was recording on my end.
And I was uploading it from a chip.
Yeah. And then you would upload it and I would resync up after
Like it was some Mission Impossible fucking episode from 1967.
So it's actually the way I used to do stuff, because you don't do it that way anymore with other musicians when we're working on stuff together. Send me your stems.
Send me your stem cells.
Hey, dude, guess what? There's so what? Because it's the 17th, that means on Tuesday is the 19th. And there's some releases that are coming out on Blu-ray that are great. I'm excited for them for a lot of reasons. But then I started seeing things like, why is Blazing Saddles getting a re-release?
100th anniversary.
It is.
Came out in 1974, right?
Yeah, but it's the same. Nothing different about it. They don't even like... Warner Brothers didn't even put up a new thing on there saying, hey, it's going to be it's the 80th anniversary.
50th anniversary. 50th, right? Is that what it is, really? 50th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adding.
I don't know, man. Here's the thing. I don't know why. I mean, I don't own it in any fucking fashion because I don't like the movie. I don't know.
I don't think
I don't know I ever liked it.
I think I have it you know, I don't even know. I have to go down and look. Because, you know, it's one of those ones where, because it came out right at the beginning of Blu-ray, and I think maybe because I've seen it so much over the years in my head right now, I can't with any certainty say that I don't have it or I do have it. But if I do have it, I don't think I ever opened it.
Huh.
Yeah. It's not a movie that does anything for me. It's like, it was that movie I wasn't allowed to watch when I was a kid, and I finally had to watch it, Mike, and I laughed because you do laugh at that kind of stuff when you're, you know, 7 years old, 8 years old. Because, I mean, the fart scene used to be the funniest thing ever, and I can't deal with it. Just so stupid.
It's weird, man. Like, I didn't see that movie till after I saw History of the World.
Really?
Like, when I was in my teens. And I didn't think it was funny. Like, I don't know. Like, I'd already seen Police Academy. So, like, to me, Police Academy is way funnier than... By the time I saw Blazing Saddles, I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I've just never been a person who, like... And I don't want to go back. You could tell me it's funny and blah, blah, blah. And no. I'm like, whatever, man. Fuck off.
Like I said, I'm not even sure if I have even open mind, if I even have it.
It's funny because I think if you look at your disc, if you do have it, there is the unreleased pilot for the Blazing Saddles TV show, which stars Lou Gossett Jr. It's on the Blu-ray and maybe the DVD. I remember because it became a big thing because people were like, oh, and I was like, I don't know. I mean, do I need to see a pilot for a movie I didn't like? But I have seen the pilot. Zach and I watched it when we were doing SuperCon, but I'm pretty sure it's on the Blu-ray. I don't know if it's on this new Blu-ray. Does it say?
Oh, hold on. I don't know if they show the back of it at all. They don't show the back.
They don't even list. Oh, motherfuckers. How lame are you?
Then I'm telling you, it's nothing different.
Well, since you stumbled across, well, here I'm going to intervene just for a moment while you've introduced Gene Wilder into our conversation. Opening this week is the documentary Remembering Gene Wilder. It's playing around town in limited release. I hear it's fantastic. So if you want some, you know, again, it's a documentary, 90 minutes of your life. If you're a Gene Wilder fan, go check it out. It's playing at the Lemley Royale in Santa Monica and the Lemley Town Center 5. In Encino, if you live in the Los Angeles area.
Yeah. I didn't realize Cleavon Little died so young.
Yeah.
53, dude.
Yeah, right.
Did he have cancer? Colon cancer, dude. Ugh. But dude, when I think of Cleavon Little, though, I mean, I know everybody thinks of Blazing Saddles, but I think of Once Bitten. Like, he's kind of like you're talking about. For me, it's like, I find... other movies more funny because I've seen them first.
Right. Like I'm saying, like to me, like I'm sure somebody's like, you can't compare Police Academy to Blazing Saddles, you moron. I'm like, well, I can because I was 14 when I saw Police Academy and I saw the theater and I loved it. And then I saw Blazing Saddles and I don't care about it. So, you know, to me, it was just an old movie that like, I don't know, it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
I find the same thing. I'm going to say this. It's another sacrilegious moment here. I'm not a big fan of Young Frankenstein. Again, because I had seen like Transylvania 65,000, just other things already by the time I got around to seeing Young Frankenstein. So to me, it has moments, but I don't, you know, I don't live and die with it.
No, I don't want to say I like one more than the other.
Oh, I like Young Frankenstein more than Blazing Saddles.
But I definitely like, yeah, I like Young Frankenstein a fuck of a lot more like Blazing Saddles. There's nothing really about Young Frankenstein that has been soured. You know, you can't. There's Blazing Saddles is just when you're trying to mock racism by being super racist. I don't know. It comes across really poor. You know what I mean? It's like. And I even felt that when I was a teenager. I'm like, yikes.
I just didn't think it was funny. I mean,
like, no, that's what I mean. It's like,
I was like, why is this funny?
The social commentary he was trying to make isn't funny to me. That's what I'm, that's kind of what I'm getting at. So then it just becomes racist. It doesn't become the funny that he's trying to come across with isn't there for me. I mean, my reasoning is probably different than yours, but
I just mean, like, to me, like, there was nothing, like, yeah, there was the racist thing, and then it was just, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't, you know, I was 14, so maybe I wasn't smart enough to fucking see it. To me, it was just like, oh, this is lame.
Yeah.
You can't say that shit. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, again, I can tell you, I don't know that I've ever seen Blazing Saddles all the way through after the first time I've ever seen it. I never tried to watch it again. And I think maybe I've seen parts of it here and there when...
Yeah.
Just by accident, but it's like literally like great. It's coming out on Tuesday. It's coming out tomorrow.
Okay. So Cleavon Little is awesome and he's in a lot of good stuff.
See, like, Once Bitten instead.
Yes. Dude, did so much crap, dude. He was, and I say crap, but I don't mean like in a negative way. He's more than just the guy in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. I mean, he was in a ton of stuff, man. Like he had a career before Blazing Saddles and, weirdly, a short career after.
Yeah. He had a little resurgence, right? So if it was February, we could be talking about the fact that Rent-A-Cop is getting a Blu-ray release on Tuesday from Kino.
Yeah, man.
And they're using the original movie poster there.
Oh, thank God.
With Liza on the front. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Isn't here's the thing. I don't remember exactly what the cover looks like, but I want to say somebody's wearing a helmet and it's not Liza's hair.
Yes.
So there's two helmets if I count there's her hair. There's two helmets.
Yes. Bert's and the motorcycle guy.
Oh, no. I meant her hair.
Okay. There's three then.
There's three helmets. Two hair helmets and a motorcycle helmet. That's my review. That's my review of Rent-A-Cop as I remember it.
I can't remember which one of Bert's movies during this window of time
was good.
There's that too. But there's one thing he ends up doing in there where he takes a phone recording from somebody and then he's cutting the tape up to make it the person say something else.
Oh.
And dude, that's how I used to remix stuff before like Pro Tools all came along. So I did those four white label remixes for Atlantic. That's what I had to, that's how I did it. I just chopped up tape.
Is that Rent-A-Cop or is that Malone?
It might be Malone. It's one of those ones where it's a little more highbrow.
I feel like there's a whole bunch of those movies like that came out like after Stick. There were a bunch of Burt Reynolds movies. I feel like they just came straight to, it might be Heat with him and Peter McNichol where he's cutting the tape. I think it's because it's part of whatever he's, you know, he's trying to set the guys up who maybe are after McNichol and maybe he's cutting. I remember the sequence. I just don't remember the movie because all those sort of mid to late 80s Burt movies kind of all blend for me.
They do.
With maybe the exception, the best one being Breaking In with him and Casey Simasco.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, but the rest of them, Rent-A-Cop, I don't remember it so well, but you know, good. Thank God, dude. Now it's available on, you know, Blu-ray if I ever want to buy it. That and Cop and a Half. No, it's Cop and a Half, Bert. Is that
Brent? No, it's not Heat. It's not Heat.
Okay.
You and I had watched that on the side. We talked about it on the show and then I watched it because, yeah, this is the one he's in Vegas. Yeah, that's a different one. Yeah.
Okay.
I think Malone might be the one. Anyway.
Malone.
I'll verify it. Is it streaming anywhere? Cause I won't watch it. I'll just fast forward to that part. I'm checking. It's going to be interesting. But by the way, it's funny. Just Watch is great. It's pretty accurate. But the thing is sometimes when I search for the exact movie title, it doesn't come up with a TV show. And I don't know why that is. And you have to kind of scroll through it. And sometimes you won't even find it. When that happens, search for the person's name that you know is prominently in the movie. Ooh, it's on Tubi. Malone is on Tubi. So mm-hmm. I'll watch it. And, yeah. Oh, there's another one called Give Him Hell, Malone. What's up? But that was a... Who the fuck is in this?
I think Malone is the one Thomas you're thinking Jane. Of. Ex-cop, ex-CIA, explosive.
Yeah, yeah. Screen I'm legend, pretty sure that's what it is. Explosive.
Is back as Richard Malone, ex-CIA agent, looking to leave his past behind him and start a new life in the Pacific Northwest.
You see who directed it?
No, who directed it? Burt Reynolds?
Harley Kokelis.
Oh, well, there you go, dude.
Harley I don't Kokelis. Think anybody was Kokelis on that movie.
Harley Kokelis also directed the fantastic Black Moon Rising.
Yeah.
So look, there's a new, the Blu-ray for Malone, oddly enough, since we're talking about Burt Reynolds' Blu-rays from this period, new audio commentary. I think this must be Kino as well, because it's got an audio commentary on it with Steve Mitchell and Nathaniel Thompson. I'm going to have to search YouTube to see if I can find this commentary. Because what the fuck could you have to say about this movie? It is a Kino classic too, by the way.
Yay.
So Kino. You can get Malone.
Kino.
You can get Malone and Rent-A-Cop. Buy them together. Get a,
Kino.
Kino.
All right. Well, dude, look at that. 30 minutes, just bam.
Oh, and Malone is also on Prime.
Is it really?
Yep.
Oh, I'll watch it over there.
Included with my Prime membership.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, in 30 minutes, just like that. Did we even get through Tuesday's releases? You didn't talk about Changing Lanes.
No, because who cares? It's like, hey, if there's anything worth coming out this week, worth watching, we've talked about it already.
It's been a slow week. It's a slow week everywhere.
It is. Oh, it's because Oscars. People are buying the Oscar movies. People are
still recovering from David Russell punching them in the stomach.
I don't understand.
I'm just, dude, like, fuck, man. I don't know. If somebody punches you in the stomach, don't you just punch him back in the face?
Well, that's what I was saying. When you had sent the text about it, and I immediately just thought, because he pushes around people that don't push back. He would never do that to you or I because he'd fucking knock him out. So, not that we have exposure to him, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no. I'm just like, I was like, ooh, bro, what? Why is this? Why this is news? Like, it's more news. Like, if somebody whoops his ass, like after him punching them in the stomach. But like, I mean, I don't know, whatever, man. It's just another long chapter in that guy's storied career.
Oh, you know what, dude? I'm pretty sure it's Malone because Cliff Richardson's in it.
Yeah, I think it is Malone. Mm-hmm.
It's like Richardson, Cliff Robertson. I can talk.
Cliff Robertson.
Right, I'm adding. All right. So this week we'll have our number two in our March Madness, to be or not to be. And that should be an interesting one. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm all about this.
Yay. Wait, hold on a second. What's this fucking Burt Reynolds Raven? What the fuck is this? Oh,
yeah, Raven's another bad. I think 97. That's even,
I don't even know what this is.
That and there's another Burt Reynolds movie with Burt Reynolds and Tom Berenger. I think it's called The Hollywood Sign. You ever see that?
I want to say this really quick. I'm looking at it right now on Prime because I just added Malone to Prime. I'd rather watch it there. And the rundown for Raven is Burt Reynolds is the leader of an elite mercenary team, Raven, on a deadly mission to obtain a powerful Soviet satellite decoder. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, after it says Burt Reynolds in parentheses, you know, just in case you don't know who somebody is, they'll put a big title that you'd recognize, right?
Yeah.
They put Boogie Nights.
Sure, of course, because it came out in 97. This is like, I was just going to say, this is part of that, like there's a bunch of weird Burt Reynolds movies that were all made like after Boogie Nights.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't think it was maybe, this is probably maybe before that, but I get what you're saying. It's a typical VHS move, right?
Dude, you look at this movie up too, because it's not streamable anywhere. It's not showing, but it's called The Hollywood Sign. It's Berenger, Rod Steiger, Burt Reynolds. Let me read the log line for everyone. Three washed up actors must deliver the most compelling performances of their life as part of a dangerous plot designed to finance their triumphant comeback. You could pair that with Free Money. With Marlon Brando and Donald Sutherland and Charlie Sheen.
Oh, man. I need to watch this, too. So you want to follow us on the socials at Karate Pod on Twitter, Insta, and Letterboxd. You follow Corey on Letterboxd and Corey_Culp and on Insta at Culper97. And if you want to support the show on Patreon and get those episodes early and support the show, You can get that at patreon.com/karatepod.
If you'd like to follow me, you can follow me at rockandroller33 on your Instagram, or you can follow me at the Swede on Letterboxd. That's the Swede on Letterboxd, or you can follow me at the Real John Ladd at Blue Sky. That's the Real John Ladd at Blue Sky.